problems with Braille teachers. One of my beliefs is that if a teacher is going to go through school and get their master's, that they should it should be mandatory that they learn Braille and sign language, so as a special ed teacher, they have the tools to teach the children that are in their classrooms. Thank you. So my question is, what has been done to change the shortages of the providers, if anything, at this point? That's my only question.
There's no question there's a shortage of rehab professionals, vision rehab professionals in the field, absolutely. And there's no question that the art or the discipline, whatever you want to call it, of Braille acquisition and Braille teaching is not what it was. I wasn't around a generation ago, but it certainly doesn't seem to be what it was a generation ago. And we worked together with a large coalition, including the NFB and the ACB, on Braille and Braille acquisition. And you know, we always have to remember that we can work together and to take the time to work together to remind, however it is, the education system on Braille. And when it comes to instruction in the classroom, I guess speaking for myself, and really for CBVH, we would definitely see merit to working to instill within the curricula appropriate Braille training for vision rehab teachers, and also to inspire, definitely to inspire more TVIs into the field as well. And as far as mobility instructors go, as rehab professionals, CBVH continues to be supportive of the Hunter College program, but we have begun, truthfully, in earnest, and Carl will tell you, to work with within the confines of New York State to develop and inspire a another mobility program as well in the upstate region where we need it. And in the ideal world, it's not just a regional program, but this is a national program that certainly in New York State will benefit for it. But we also hope that in some way that this could be a national leader as well. And tomorrow afternoon, when I have the privilege to address this convention, I will be prepared also to discuss it in more detail. And for anybody else who won't be here tomorrow, I am available to discuss some of that in more detail as well at any point. Joe, anything that you would want to add?
Just like to really say how grateful I am to the National Federation of the Blind in reading their philosophies and really learning. My son is in second grade and can already read grade 2 Braille. That's more than I ever learned. But it's because of the Federation that gave me the extra strength to go forward to the counselors and say, okay, I need a Braille teacher. We have RP, which is a disease that there is no doubt my son's going to be blind. If they don't teach the children when they're young, they're going to be left behind as they get older. So I just want to thank the Federation for all the courage and all the philosophies they do have on teaching young children. Thank you.
Just as a comment to follow up, Brian's, I look forward to your remarks tomorrow afternoon, Brian.
I was wondering how, just to underscore for this audience, to have a little trust that things are happening. We are currently working with CBVH to develop new opportunities in the field of O&M and Braille. But I think we need to remember that CBVH does not license the teachers. State Ed does. That's a bigger issue, and I will talk about that tomorrow. But having said that, I look forward to your remarks tomorrow, Brian. I was going to ask you to address them today.
Logistics.
This is Father John Sheehan, and I just two observations. One is the follow-up of something I said before, and as I keep hearing the questions and hearing the responses, having the program is terrific, but you got to get out and sell it. You got to let people know that you exist. You've got to let your counselors know that it exists. Having a program that nobody knows about doesn't do anybody any good. The second observation is just from my own experience as a sighted person, but Pam invited me to the Louisiana Center for the Blind last January, and I spent 2 weeks, 13 hours a day minimum, in sleep shades. And in that period of time, I learned enough O&M to navigate with a cane, and I still go out in New York City with my sleep shades on and my long white stick, and I have gone to work on the bus. I've even gone on the subway, and that was probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. I regularly go out and walk the neighborhood, and someday I'm going to take my courage in my hands and go into Central Park, and they'll never see me again. But the point is that for someone who isn't blind, 13 hours a day or more in sleep shades, and I never took them off, even when I accidentally walked across four lanes of traffic without meaning to, I never took them off. And at the end of that 2 weeks, I was disappointed that I had to go home because I knew how much more I could learn. But I'd learned how to cook in the kitchen and get around. I'd learned not to be scared of the power tools in the shop. My Braille had increased dramatically in 2 weeks. My fingers are stupid, but my head was getting it. You know, I could write really well. Put me in front of the Perkins, and I was a dynamo. Reading, yeah, that was not so good. I was dealing with the computerized programs, and that was 2 weeks. I think it's great to invite the center in Louisiana, say, or the center in Denver to come to New York, and that's important. But by heaven, if you can arrange for a counselor to go and spend 2 weeks there, it will be a world of difference for everybody who's involved. It's an amazing experience. And for a sighted person, it is the difference between saying that a blind person can do anything and knowing that a blind person can do anything. And that was my experience.
I have a question which Brian can probably answer with a yes or no. I'm wondering, do all the school systems throughout New York State, do they have, all of them have uniform requirements for their children, like by age, by the first grade you have to know this, by the second, third, and fourth? And I'm wondering, do we have the same standards set for a blind child? Is he expected to know as much in first grade as a sighted child? And do I realize we don't have the facilities right now, shortage of teachers? But I'm just wondering, I've spoken to several different school districts, and they always tell me, no, that the standards are not uniform. I thought maybe you could answer that question. Thank you.
I'll tell you, I'm not aware of any standard that makes it any different for a child with a sight impairment or any other disability. Not to have the opportunity and the accommodations, if they can, to be able to compete and to compete successfully with all of their peers, no matter if they're sighted, not sighted, have other disabilities, or no other disabilities. And I don't think that we should accept an education system that doesn't understand both the accommodations and also the potential and the reality that, you know, with just a few adaptations, there really should be no difference between one peer and the other, everything else being equal. No.
Laura, to follow up on Brian, I believe what Brian said. I agree with Brian. There should be no difference in the standards. However, if you take the reading competency test, for instance, for a seventh grader who is sighted, they are expected to read at a certain level and to achieve a certain score on that test. If you get a blind kid who is in the seventh grade and has not been given the skills of blindness, cannot read Braille, and is marginal at best at large print, that kid is going to fail. And we will say that blind children, therefore, don't perform at the level of sighted children. Well, they've never been given the tools, and that's what we need to see more about, Laura. I think the fact that they will say the standards are the same is a little disingenuous when the kids are not provided. I'm supposed to hammer the nail with my fist while the sighted kid gets a hammer. So I think it's a little more complicated than that, but I do agree with Brian. They should be the same standards at 7th grade, 3rd grade, 12th grade, whatever, for sighted children and blind children.
Yes, I think, Cheryl Echeverria, I think I brought this up at one of the very first conventions I was at in 2007. Being somebody who lost her vision at the age of 35, I got some okay mobility. I got my guide dog, but there were no, I had a search for mentoring and all that, and I actually found the NFB at a dialysis center when I had a counselor. I wasn't even told about the other organization as well. So what is CBVH doing to promote? I mean, I'm not, I didn't lose my vision as a student. I didn't lose my vision as a senior. I lost my vision due to diabetes and all that. My vision specialist didn't even know where to send me. So what are you doing to get out there to somebody who's, again, stuck in the middle, like the other lady that had a 22-year-old daughter? Like I said, the counselors weren't promoting anybody, and I found them basically by accident. And I'm glad I did, because I've learned so much in the last 4 years than I ever would, and I'm out mentoring other people myself.
When somebody comes to the Commission for the Blind, we provide some intake materials, and in addition to getting information from people, we provide intake materials, and I believe we provide the brochure from the National Federation of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind in that intake material, in that intake packet. And the handbook, I believe, also has some basic information about the organizations as well. Yeah. Glenn. Again, if you can tell me your names when you want to speak.
This is Glenn.
Okay.
Is the microphone on? This is in relation to employment and some of the things I've been hearing from fellow NFBers here. In regards to employment, when I hear somebody goes to an employee an interview, a job interview, and they mention, you know, you need to be registered with CBVH or whatever they do. As an NFBer, right then and there, I probably would you know, say, you know, I'm here, you know, on my own will, and I want to do what I want to do. I'm independent. You know, I've learned that from NFB, okay? And in a partnership between, you know, NFB and CBVH, what we're trying to do is claim independence. The roles, I think I always hear from fellow NFBers and people who are just coming to receive service at CBVH, is the roles. As for Voc Rehab, regarding employment, Most individuals are not going to be used to being their own advocate or self-advocacy. And when you're out there looking for employment, I think it's very important. As Laura mentioned, that when she was in Erie County, they mentioned to her about some vision. We weren't in the district or something, and you got the job. You know, that's what I think I gathered from NFB and what I learned from NFB over the past years is about being my own advocate. In combination with the Voc Rehab Services through CVVH, it's really a huge benefit to be on both sides. Having a good support in place who helps provide the Voc Rehab to reinvent yourself as a blind individual, and also what you learn from NFB about being independent, being your own advocate, and not taking no or having someone push you aside or go to the CBVH. That, to me, when I hear something like that, I cringe. I'm like, well, I'm here. I might be blind, but that has nothing to do with this. I'm here for a job, and I have the skills, which if you have the skill set they're looking for, you should be just included. That might be a perfect world. We have a long way to go. However, CBVH is doing a job in promoting employment through Voc Rehab Services, reinventing yourself. I've noticed meeting Carl, meeting Mindy, meeting all the other fellow NFBers is that, you know, we can't turn to CBVH when something happens. And I know that for a fact. You have to be your own advocate. You have to understand it's you, and you are going to make the choices in life. You know, I just, like I said, hearing a lot of stuff. And as for Sue, your 21-year-old daughter with the O&M, that too, you know, I get disappointed when I hear information like that. Through NFB, being here, you may know that it is a situation where you have to keep plugging away, using a network, establishing a network, and trying to find the information you need to help get your daughter that services, you know, the O&M. To me, O&M, I wouldn't be where I am today as an independent individual if it wasn't the foundation of learning O&M, getting from point A to point B. That was my first step in blind rehab, you know. Fortunately, I had a good O&M instructor, but there are times when I hear different stories. You know, you got to be your own advocate. You got to keep answering, knocking on doors, and get the services you need for your children. I just, like I said, I'm just hearing all these different stories, and as an NFBer, I just, you know, want to say we really need to look at ourselves and be our own advocate. And NFB is really helping us be advocates, and that's what I've learned over the past years, you know. And thank you. I had to get that off my chest. And I didn't even have a cup of coffee yet.
I have a friend that I went to school with who lives up here in Albany, and she has been telling me her, I don't know, you might call them, I think of them as horror stories, about trying to learn how to use her computer. And she told me there was something like one or two instructors for the whole area, and she had computer training sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a month, and after a while it just like almost like dwindled down. A lot of times she'd go there and the person said they couldn't do it today or something. And so I'm wondering what the situation is up here for people learning technology, and is there really that much of a shortage of tech specialists, and how can that be remedied?
I'm not sure. There is the Adaptive Tech Center up here at the Northeastern Association of the Blind. There are private vendors. I believe we have them listed on our website for assistive technology. So I'm not exactly sure what your friend is experiencing and why, but it's certainly a concern if somebody is not getting the frequency and the intensity of services that they need in order to learn how to use their equipment. you know, hopefully it's something that your friend discussed with the counselor so that the counselor can work to make sure that they're getting the services they need.
Joe, did you say private lenders are on the website? Or Adaptive Tech? As individuals or as agencies?
Both.
Both.
Sorry, Pam, I walked away.
www.visionloss.org. No, I'm sorry.
.ny.
ny.org. Visionlossny. Hang on a minute here.
We will tell you the good in a moment.
Okay, thank you.
I just Googled
CBH when I was. Okay. Vision loss, it's one word, .ny, .gov.
Forgive us, it's a relatively new address.
Set. Now I'm going over to Nasser.
Will?
Just a comment. There was an individual who was suggesting that newly employed counselors attend one of the centers. What about implementing a requirement for that so that counselors or potential employees of the commission, that's a mandatory requirement for them to attend the center for whether it be 2 weeks, a month? And in addition, yeah, we're all talking about programs and fundings, but how are the programs going to sustain themselves with all these national, all these cuts and all these severe changes in the budget?
Now, by these programs, you're referring to just the general program or specifically for residential?
Asking the programs that were funded with stimulus funding, how we're going to continue paying for them, or are you talking about all the different kinds of programs you're hearing?
Well, in general, right. The budgets are being cut, so how are we going to improve the services when all the federal money is slowly dwindling down?
Well, at this point, our budget is not necessarily dwindling at all, but certainly there is more scrutiny and more oversight, not just by CBVH, but some of the control agencies, if you will, as well. And there are policies that are, I'll give you an example that goes right into the other question that you had, too. There are certain policies that all state agencies must adhere to, whether or not they are receiving state dollars or federal dollars, even though in many cases it's the state dollars that are more at risk in many programs than the federal dollars. But one example of what we also must adhere to is that there is a general ban on all out-of-state travel for business. So, for example, in terms of a question, and I know it was probably more of a moral or philosophical question and not necessarily expecting this answer, but one answer to the question of why CBVH staff would not be able to travel to NFB centers for that purpose is that there is a statewide ban on that type of travel, so we would not be able to do that. So there's an example of So we're adhering to that right now, and so some of those policies definitely are restrictive on us, but we also find ways to invest our dollars in such a way that it improves upon the program in other ways. So we take what we can't do here and there, and we look at that same amount of money and see what we can do.
What about funding the center staff, if you would, to run the training services here, say for CBVH, if there is the ban of out-of-state travel?
Well, certainly, as we suggested earlier, an opportunity for center staff to come in and talk to our staff regionally, as we've said, that invitation is a standing one. Well, again, that's something that we can discuss. I'm not sure that this is the forum where we want to. There's so many nuances in that, too, including who's going to fund it or what. So I really think that that's an opportunity for us to talk about this at a later date.
Yes, to speak, so I'm going to now.
Hi. Thank you.
Can I stop? Yeah. Could you hold 1 second? I just want to say something before you continue. I understand that when I introduced Brian, I gave this over as a town meeting to Brian, and this was going to be a meeting with his staff. However, this is still being held in conjunction with the National Federation of the Blind State Convention, and I have asked in the past that one thing we do here, and a lot of you veterans know this, although we might disagree with the presenter, we might have another point of view, we will always be civil to that person and a person with whom we might disagree. I would ask the same right now. I couldn't figure out where, who, or why it came from, but I heard a few seconds ago the remark in the back that talk is cheap. That's certainly not a comment that I would want to make to Brian. That is certainly not a comment that I would like Brian to remember coming from this audience. And I would ask you all again to disagree if you will with the commission. Take them to task if you must, but be civil. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm happy to have the opportunity to ask a question here. Yes, I'm Edwin White. I live in Rockland County, and I have found in my dealings with blind people in Rockland County, and there are a couple of service providers of services to the blind in Rockland. But the unfortunate thing that I'm hearing from some of the blind people is that if they're not in school being trained or in the job setting, they are sometimes not able to get services or they're not getting mentoring for braille reading or computer skills. So, or O&M. So I'm happy if I find them to be able to assist them in any way I can. So I wonder if we do find people like this, should we make the Commission for the Blind aware of it?
Well, if you're aware of people who are not aware of the Commission for the Blind, I would certainly encourage you to provide the information about CBVH to those individuals so that they can get connected and get the resources that we have available so that we can get those resources available to them.
But somehow, for whatever reason, the agencies that are servicing the blind in that community can't assist them. Like, for example, somebody was looking for a braille mentor, and apparently the person wasn't in school. They just wanted to be able to read some braille, and so had to learn some braille. And we were asked, and I was happy living in the area to be able to assist the person. So how would they go about getting services if they are blind but they're not in school or they're not looking for a job?
We do have some independent living funds to provide services to people who are not looking for employment or are not seeking an employment goal, who are not at the age where they can take advantage of the adaptive living program for older blind individuals. And again, they would contact the district office who has some limited funding for that. Lady in red. Laura.
It brings up the question, which I think has been asked before. Yeah. Oh, God. How do we make sure that everybody is on the same page here? All the counselors know what is available and what they can tell people when they ask for these things. And what, you know, like we have the person who just was told that there was not anything that they could do about getting to learn Braille because they weren't looking for a job or in school. And so if these other funds are available to teach them other skills that they need, even though they're not, so they can be independent, we have to make sure that all the counselors know everything that's available.
It wasn't clear to me that information was passed along by a CBVH counselor.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's but, the case but if or not.
It was. Okay. Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, it's certainly incumbent on all of us to share information with each other and for CBVH to educate counselors, new counselors, and that's an ongoing process, a continuing effort.
When people talk, technology. Yeah, it's not the typical, but it seems to be.
While you're dealing with that microphone, I'm just going to say that we have time for one more question after Laura, and then Brian Daniels will do a short wrap-up here. Thank you all for your time.
Riho. I live in Albany, born on 7 years. My question is, how do I go about reopening my case for the blind?
Yeah, Aura said that she's lived in Albany for about 7 years, and she's wondering how to go about reopening her case.
You'd need to contact the local office, the Albany CBVH district office. You can contact Joe Nye or Craig Walton, the senior counselor. You can speak after the meeting. I said we have room for one more. Yeah. Laura, and then we'll close.
Thank you very much. Laura Herman again.
And I'd like to answer the lady's concerns about receiving services for an unemployable blind person. In 1984, Governor Cuomo held a town forum in Niagara Falls, New York. I advocate on behalf of the National Federation of the Blind of New York. I did advocate for funding for persons over blind persons over 65 and other blind people who are not employable. And I asked Governor Cuomo to allocate a fund of an amount of $4.5 million to be applied toward non-vocational rehabilitation services. So I would assume that this 22-year-old person who is not employable would qualify for non-vocational rehabilitation services. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, the gratitude and the amount of service that we have been able to deliver over the years through this non-VR funding has made an immense impact and difference in people's lives here in New York State. So the gratitude continues for those great efforts that continue to pay dividends back from 1984. Absolutely, Mrs. Herman. Now, the state funding for non-VR services that come into the state are essentially for two different types of services. The first service is to cover those who are pre-transition age, those who are up to the age of 13. Then at age 14, in many, many cases, the individual transfers into the VR program. And for services for those who are non-VR services for the other part of the non-VR state dollars, that is money that goes to augment, to supplement our older blind grant, as it's called, from the federal government. So the money that's there for the other types of services, certainly the VR for the VR services, and as Sharon had referenced before too, for some of those other types of needs, we have independent living Part B money that we use for that type of thing. So VR really is defined as, in terms of older blind too, the requirements of the older blind program is 55 and older. So a person for age 22 would not be somebody who would qualify for those non-VR dollars. Now, before I turn the microphone over to Carl for some concluding comments, you will get the last word, Mr. President. Maria Garcia has graciously requested and that immediately following this meeting, there will be a meeting next door of the Parents of Blind Children of New York. And I guess box lunch after this, is that?
Prepaid.
Yep, prepaid. And so so that meeting will occur. Anything else to say about that, Maria? Okay. And also, I will be present at the convention tomorrow, beginning in the morning around 9:30. And here through Banquet. And I will definitely be available throughout the day, maybe an hour just before Banquet for a little bit of a break. But I will certainly be available all day for individual opportunities to talk. And also, I am really looking forward to the privilege of addressing this convention tomorrow around 3:45. And Sue, I will make sure, too, that we have an opportunity to speak. I will have to leave right after this, but really, really look forward to being with you all day. And I want to thank Sharon Flom for her very deft leadership and presiding over our open forum. to Marianne Van Alstyne for her comments and her rollerblading without rollerblades. And I won't forget you, Joe. Joe, for his presence and for everything that you've contributed and supported as well throughout this process, and Sharon for what you've done to put this together, and Mike Rose, who is at some other convention somewhere up the thruway. I'm not sure what convention that is in Utica, who's presiding over that town meeting and also put a lot of work and effort into this as well, and I wanted to acknowledge him from afar. And of course, last but absolutely not least, a deep and sincere thank you to the New York State affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind for hosting us for a second year. Assuredly, I know that CBVH staff here agrees that not only have we had a second annual town meeting with in the confines of the NFB convention, but the amount of comments and feedback that we received continues to be even more so than when we have done this in different parts of the state, not under the auspices of a convention at a different time of year. So this will certainly inspire us to continue to look at our service delivery system and also to help advise us as we develop, as we do each year, the state plan to the Rehabilitation Services Administration, our federal funders. And so, once again, thank you all, and I am pleased to turn this back over to President Jacobson.
Thank you, Brian. Did everybody find this beneficial this morning? Okay. In that case, Brian, you have an invitation to do this in conjunction with next year's state convention. And he just accepted. I hope we won't put you in any conflicts next year. I hope that the two organizations will be on different weekends. But I do thank you for being here this weekend. Janice, it's okay. I love you too. And again, thank you, Sharon, Marianne, Joe. Joe, we try not to forget you, Joe. Brian announced Maria's wanting to have a meeting with the parents of blind children. PLBC is not on the agenda this year, so this is not an official meeting, but a lot of people are asking questions about the future. You know, what are we doing with blind kids? I think it's kind of a good opportunity to get together and share thoughts and the like so that PLBC of the state here can formulate its approach for the coming year. Wherever we are next year, we will probably be doing a more intense PLBC thing. All right, having said that, that happens in either the loft or the town room. I'm not sure. They're just to the right here as you go out. I'm not sure which room we negotiated that for. One of the rooms will be set up with small tables of rounds for the eBay seminar. They're all set? Okay. Okay, well, they're all classroom? Oh. Well, we'll live with one of them. Just pick one of them, though, okay? So try not to mess up two rooms because the eBay seminar is going to be in the other one. 1 o'clock in this room. The cell phones, etc., all that technology stuff will happen here. 3 o'clock in this room will be a diabetic seminar. 4:30 in this room will be the board meeting, which we will probably be able to be done by 5:30. So that we can get to a reception and hospitality and all kinds of stuff tonight down in the poolside room and at the pool itself, for those of you who remember to bring your suits. Not all of us did. Boy, I'm catchy. I'm going to catch it from Mindy for that one. Not all of us remembered to pack them. Okay, that, and also at 2:30, in one of those two rooms down the hall, the name of which I forget, will be the eBay hands-on seminar, hands-on training for a limited, it's a limited number of people. However, not enough of y'all got back to me, and I know everybody kept saying they wanted to do it, but nobody ever gave me a firm confirmation. I have firm confirmation from about five or six people, and that's fine because I think the people who are putting it on said they can take 10. In order to do it right, they want to be able to do a one-on-one with 10, and if you have your laptop, your netbook, or any of those things with you, bring it and they can work hands-on with you. If you don't have your laptop or netbook with you, but you still want to learn how to actually work the eBay thing and want to sit along the side of the room and listen to the other guys, there will be a full presentation tomorrow from eBay. So you can probably hold some questions for that. But our own Charlie Richardson, who is now by eBay's estimation a top-rated seller, is going to be working with Jonas Klink, who's the senior manager for accessibility and those various long title services for eBay. So we've got Jonas from eBay coming from California to do this, and Charlie, our own homegrown top-rated seller by eBay's estimation, showing us how blind people can make money too. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, is about more than sub-minimum wage. I'm tired of below minimum wage for blind guys. You are tired of below minimum wage for blind guys. So let's find some ways that blind guys can make some real money. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow a lot. We'll be putting questions to Brian. We'll be putting questions to everybody on the program about that. I've got some exciting news for other things. I might announce some at the board meeting. So stay tuned, which is what I've been saying to some folks about a project lately. Also, those of you who have not registered, please stop by the table. Please take a chance, do your horse race tickets. If you, those of you who were here last year, remember the horse race. It raised some money for the affiliate. That was kind of fun. It also raised some money for about six people who were winners in the audience too, for playing the horse race. And I know it will be a fair up and up horse race. You don't mess with a higher authority when you roll those dice. Two members of the clergy will be rolling dice tomorrow night. And between Father John and Brian, I'm not going to question the count.
Carl, that means that neither I nor the father can make a wager.
If Father, you want to make a wager? Exactly. And Brian, probably for no rabbinical reason, but for a state of New York reason, you probably don't want to make a wager either. All right, so they're not in the game, but you all should be in the game, knowing that they're going to be determining the prizes for some of you. So I'm going to win. Mindy and I are going to win something tomorrow night, because she's betting on number 2, 4, and 6. I'm betting on 1, 3, and 5. There's one way to win something. We're going to walk away with something. But see Linda for those tickets. I'll be talking about that a lot of the weekend. I found it to be a fun thing. We also are raffling or auctioning off a portable CCTV donated by CTEC. I'm told by Chuck Cohen that the thing is worth about $600. You can probably get it for a real bargain. It's a portable CCTV, so some of us don't really have a need for it, but a lot of us do. So those of you who do, I would suggest you bid on it. We're also raffling off the Book Sense. Those tickets are also available. And if anybody else has raffle tickets, I will entertain those announcements at the board meeting. So 4:30 board meeting, 3 o'clock diabetic seminar, 1 o'clock cell phones, et cetera, and 2:30 eBay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you, Brian and CBVH, for being here. We're on for next year, and Brian, we'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks.